Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Today we're starting a new series, Nehemiah, and the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the rebuilding of your life.
Did y'all read the paper this past week? So like the top 10 things that they're looking at in Sydney. There is some struggles in this community. And did you see the gal that got killed? I've been watching the news this week, and it's like every night there's a murder. There's some guy was robbing banks, and you know, he robbed five, and they're still looking for him. This is in Dayton. I mean, it's just constantly. It's like you never want to watch it because it's just bad news, right? Folks, we are living and we are doing what we're supposed to do now, and it's at the right time. I'm telling you, this morning, you are in the right place. If you came to hear some bad news, you are in the wrong place. Because we don't have any bad news. But I tell you what, there's plenty of bad news out there, isn't there? And if you dwell on that and you just always think you're going to be worried and full of fear and negative, folks, listen. We got to shut some of that stuff off. I don't mean stick your head in the sand. I mean we got to know what to listen to and what to let in and what to, right? I'm here to tell you. But like I said, we have good news. The gospel. That's what gospel means, good news. Jesus said when he came to bring a new administrative system, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. You see that? He's calling all of us to get into him and glorify him wherever we are. What's glorify mean? What God originated and intended. That's what he's called every one of us to be about what he originated and intended our lives to be. And that's the reason we're gathered here this morning, to establish his administration in this community, in our families, in our hearts, the kingdom of God. Am I making sense? That's why we're here. We got good news, right? No matter what is going on out there in this world system. Now listen, go with me to Nehemiah chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, it's the capital, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and the concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and the gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Now, Nehemiah was called to rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. His name, Nehemiah, the name Nehemiah, it literally means Jehovah the Comforter, or Yahweh the Comforter. Jehovah the Comforter. The word Comforter is what the Holy Spirit is. So his name is significant, because we've talked about on Wednesday night of types and shadows. And that's what the Old Testament is. It's a type and shadow of the way we are to do things. And so his name means comforter. And that word comforter is the word, Greek word parakletos. Remember, it's the word for the Holy Spirit. And it also means helper. It means encourager. So that's what Nehemiah has come. He comes to encourage. He comes to help. You see that? And to build, that's what the word encourage means, to edify. That means to build up. So look, that's what Nehemiah is called to, was to build the wall in Jerusalem. So his name is significant. He's to build. Now see, the Holy Spirit is going to build things in us. As we receive his word, the comforter, the helper, the Holy Spirit is going to build in us. I want you to see yourself as Nehemiah. And I want you to see yourself as you have to rebuild your own life on the inside. That's what I want you to see. It's like twofold today. So Nehemiah was called out of the Babylonian dominance, and they were going back to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And Ezra had rebuilt the temple, but there were no walls around it. And the city was laying in ruin. And all the gates were still in ruin. So this had gone on for 144 years. No one had done anything about this for 144 years. Did you catch that? So now look, that would be kind of like President Lincoln has been shot. That'd be like me coming up here today and reporting to you, and you first time, President Lincoln has been shot. You see that? That was a long time ago. Nothing's been done. You see? They were... Nothing had been done, and they continued in their immorality. And over a long period of time, God just removed his hand from that city, his city, you see that? And let them have their way. You see, this stuff doesn't, our lives in ruin doesn't happen overnight. It's continuously doing the wrong things, knowing when we should be doing better, and we can do better. We can change, right? Well, see, that's what this whole idea, this book of Nehemiah is telling us, that we can change and we can rebuild our lives. Well, you say, well, I like my life. Why do I need to change? You need to change. Well, who are you to tell me? Well, I know I need to change. God has something better, and I can treat people better, and I can leave something better than my parents did. Am I making sense? Why not live a better life? Right? We don't have to live in ruin. And we all come from dysfunction junction. All of us need some rebuilding in our lives. All of us. None of us had a perfect upbringing. All of us need rebuilding. Now, you see, when you have no walls, Nehemiah was concerned that the name of the Lord was not being esteemed. And so he decided he is going to go and answer the call of God and rebuild these walls. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He was a cupbearer for King Artaxerxes. Now, that's just the name. Who would name their kid that? And so Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the king. And the cupbearer was a person who had to live a disciplined life. He had to live in a way, because the community was always looking at him. He had to live in a way that, you know, he lived in the palace. He lived in that royalty. He got to experience all that. But his job was to eat the food or to drink the wine before the king did. Because if it was the way they did, the way they killed kings in those days, they would poison them. And what Nehemiah was, is he would drink it, drink the food, eat, drink the drink, the wine, or eat the food before the king did, just in case it was poison. So he had to leave all those comforts and go to build this wall in Jerusalem. because the city was in ruin. Now, we are living in a generation who are broken and shattered. We all have areas of our life that need rebuilt. And I am here to tell you this morning that no matter what you have come out of, no matter what your life is in, no matter what's happened to you, no matter what's happened in the past, God can rebuild. You and God can rebuild your life as though it never happened. Now, look at this. Nehemiah's first objective was to reestablish civil authority. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no ruin that is too great that God can't restore or rebuild. I don't care what it is. And Nehemiah was called to rebuild this wall, and this wall represented authority and covenant. If you give it one word, it would be covenant, because covenant covers it all. So he's called to rebuild this wall, and his first objective was to reestablish civil authority. Where? In Jerusalem, because there was no authority. And anything went there. And so that's what the wall did. It harnessed authority. It kept things in boundaries. It brought boundaries. And that's what we need in our lives personally. And that's what we need in our communities. Authority. And that's what God's Word does. It brings authority. It builds it into our life. Now look at the second thing he came to do was to make Jerusalem a center of refuge. A center of refuge, safety, and restoration, and solutions. You see, people get saved and they come out of something. And then you see them. Have you seen people in the church? They come and they make a decision for Christ. And then they go out and they go off and they do something and their lives are worse than they were before. Because they didn't remain in the body, the city, the body of Christ. They didn't remain and get some new ideas and get the ideas of God's Word and begin to put that in their life and replace that. And that's what happens. They didn't get any authority, the authority of God in their life. So their walls remain broken down. That's what he says here. He says, I asked them in verse 2. He said, I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity concerning Jerusalem. Now you see, that's what God wants to do in our life. He wants to establish this government, the kingdom of God, in us. Why? To make us a center of refuge, of safety, solutions. We should be a people who have real solutions. When people come in this place, it's not we're just coming and singing songs and we praise the Lord. No, it's we're coming here, we are getting real answers for real problems. Because that's what God's Word does. It gives you real answers for real problems. And we all got problems. But God has an answer for every one of us. And you know what? He will use all of us to bring problems and answers to each other. He'll use some of them to bring some of your problems. You see, what he wants to do, he wants to make you a center of refuge, safety, solutions, restoration. So when people come to you, you have answers for them. Oh, I've been through that, and this is how you get through that. He wants to make you a person that has something to really bring life and health to somebody else. And as you rebuild your life, he's going to use you to build someone else's life, to help build somebody else's life. That's just like Nehemiah. Now watch this. He wants to make you a life of refuge for others to come and find answers and solutions. It says they escaped. That word escape means delivered. They were delivered out of captivity. But now they were delivered out, still had all these problems. And that's what happens. The Jews came out of captivity, were born again, but we still got problems. We're still in bondage. We still have all that stuff from our families, right? When you come out of your problems, you come out of disaster, God wants you to come in and find rest. When you come out of a divorce, God wants you to come in and find peace and joy. And when you come out of financial disaster, God wants you to come in and begin to rest in Him and restore that area, rebuild that area of your life. You can come in because in Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. In Him, see? When you come out of something, now you got to get into something and put something in. If you come out and you don't put something back in, it doesn't work. But when you come out and you put something in, it begins to really work. You see that? Come on, I know I'm being practical, but that's the way it is. God wants you to change your situation. He doesn't want you to remain in those problems. You see, we get too familiar with our problems. You see, look at Nehemiah. He said, I asked them. You know what? He was facing the facts. In Jim Collins' book, Good to Great, and it's about businesses that grow and businesses that remain strong in an economic crisis, he says you have to face the brutal facts. That's what we have to do. We have to look at our lives and say, what do I need to rebuild in my life? What reoccurring negative problem do I have in my life? I can do something about this. God has an answer. God has an answer. He has a word. He has an answer for me, and I can change this. I don't have to stay in this for the rest of my life. You have to make the decision. You have to face the brutal facts. You have to look yourself in the mirror and say, I got some problems. I got to deal with this. Or you're going to find yourself 60, 20, 30, 40 years from now doing the same thing and passing that on to the ones you love. You don't have to remain in an addictive lifestyle. Drug addiction. Alcoholism. You don't have to stay there. You can come out of that. Come, get in. Come in and get in to comfort. The presence of God, right? Get in the body of Christ and stay there and let God do a work in you. There's help. There's help in the body of Christ. You can find help in here. Am I making sense? You don't have to stay in a ruin where your life is in ruin and rubble, because we all have those areas. Now look at this. Apathy and acceptance are the biggest problem. That's why that went on for 144 years. They began to accept immorality, accept divorce, accept, going out on your spouse, and accept, a little bit of weed on the weekend don't hurt nothing. We accept, get you a 12-pack and, just take care of on the weekend. It's all right. You worked hard all week. You start to accept all these things. And you know what? God pulled his hand from his city, the city he loved, and let them have their way until Nehemiah heard the call. And Nehemiah, you know what? God always uses a man because Nehemiah cared. It's the simple fact is he cared for people. And he wanted the Lord's name to be esteemed and back in its rightful place. That's the same thing that's going on here. Right here, right now, today, in Sydney, Ohio, at Christian Academy School. Am I making sense? Now, God wants us to do more than just make it. They were surviving. They were surviving. God wants you to do more than just get by. That's what they were doing. They were just getting by and surviving, coping. Folks, we got hope. We're full of hope. We don't just cope. We got hope, right? We don't want to just cope with our problem we just cope with it. It's just how it is. That's the way I am, I got a temper. This is how it is. We cope with our problems and, we like our problems and we just learn to get along with them, because we're coping. That is so far from what God wants. I don't have to chance. Well, you don't have to, but if you're just coping, folks, there's so much more than just coping. There's so much more. Now, we can't just accept torn down areas in our life, because where the areas are torn down, who gets in? The enemy gets in. Well, I know Christians that this happened to them and that happened to them. Folks, quit looking at that. I always hear that. Well, I was with somebody this week. Well, if God was so good, how come he allows this? And how come he allows that? Folks, we gotta know, The devil is always trying to come in and speak something and sell you a bill of goods. It's like a telemarketer. He's always got you some kind of deal going on. You know, you can talk to, I don't want it, and you hang up. No, I'm not interested. You hang up. That's what you need to do to the devil. You know, you need to tell him, I don't want any. Well, he comes in when in the morning, he'll whisper something negative. Well, you know, maybe, yeah, it probably is that way. That's the enemy coming in trying to give you a bill of goods to take you out. We want to blame God on our problems. People blame God on their problems. Have you heard that? We need to stop blaming God and blame the devil. There is a devil loose on this earth. And he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Hang up on him and tell him, no, I'm talking to Jesus. I'm having me a good conversation, and I'm getting the right answer. I don't need to talk to you now, amen? That's right. Hang up on him and talk to Jesus. Because that's how he comes in. And he'll speak. He'll speak something, and you just start to agree with it. Oh, yeah, well, things were that way, and, you know, I was raised this way, and, you know, well, you know, I got this job, and, you know, I hate it, but, you know, it's paying, you know, it's helped. I got a lot of bills, and things are, folks, God doesn't want that. You can get out of that. You can make a decision and rebuild your life, no matter what has happened. We've all come out of dysfunctional families. Find out where the leaks are in your life. Sometimes, you know, Christians will just let the leaks in, and they just put a bucket under there and just let it keep leaking. You know, they'll just put a bucket under there and let it keep dripping and watch it drip. Folks, we got to do things. We got to fix it, right? We got to fix that hole where it's leaking. But if you just let it keep leaking, you're going to become a big drip, and you just accept it. I don't fix it. Personally, I call somebody to fix it because I'm not a fixer, but I get it fixed. Am I making sense? And that's what we have to do something. If your marriage is having problems, read a book. Read a book. Find some men. If you're having problems getting along with your children, just read a book about raising kids. If you don't educate yourself that way, you know what? You're going to do it just the way your parents did. And you're going to have the... If you don't do something about educating yourself in these areas... Folks, it's going to stay that way. I'm here to tell you. You have to educate yourself. You can renew you. If you've got a problem with drugs, find somebody who's overcome it and get out of that lifestyle. You don't have to stay in that. If you've got a problem in your marriage, get you some books and begin to read them and begin to see how to treat your wife and treat your husband. Build them up, right? If you've been divorced, hey, study. God has a plan. God wants to restore. He'll bring something back like it never happened. He restores what the locust has eaten. You can rebuild no matter what. Am I making sense to you all this morning? I mean, this is good stuff. You can rebuild your life. And see, that's the idea. It's you and God. It's not just, oh, God is good. God's going to... No, you got to do your part. You got to make up in your mind that you are going to do this. You don't have to leave it the way it is. Do something about it. God wants you to get a hammer and go to work. He wants you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Faith without works is what? It's dead, right? It is dead. Now, I don't want what the world system has. If your relationships are based on what I can give to you, not what I can get out of you, your relationship should be built on what I can give, not what I'm getting out of you. In other words, even people, you know, connections in the church. Well, I'm going to be in relationship with you as long as I'm getting something out of you. As long as I'm getting something from you, that's how we're going to stay connected. But if I'm not getting anything out of you, then hasta la vista, see ya, wouldn't want to be it. No. You have to be there and give into that relationship. That's the way we ought to do all relationships. I'm here to give. You keep giving into that relationship, giving. Folks, your relationships will change. You'll start having some true friends in your life, people you can really count on. Some of you don't have any friends. Well, folks, you need to start not just being right, what you can get out of them, start giving into that relationship. All right. Now, there's four characteristics as to why the walls were torn down. And these four characteristics are why our lives are torn down. Number one was, see it here in verse 3? They came from the captivity in the providence, and there was great distress. That word distress means, in the Hebrew language, affliction. And the word affliction means to be broken down in many pieces. They were in great distress. Their lives were broken, and they were scattered and shattered. Now think about this. That's what the word salvation means, to be made whole from many scattered parts. God wants to put your life back together, but He does it slowly as you yield to His word. Now look at this. So they were in great distress. It's time to stop ignoring the broken areas in our lives, our shattered dreams, all that we really long for in our heart, and accepting the status quo. We need to say we are going to build our lives. Now watch this. When you fall down, you do what? You get back up. If you fall down, you get back up again. A righteous man falls how many times? 7 million times, and he gets back up. No matter what, if you get back up, you're going to make it. That's the idea. You just keep getting back up. Why do you keep? Because you have a covenant with God. That's why if you have troubles in your marriage, you don't go out and find another one. You don't go out and find, I'm going to just get another partner. Well, you got a covenant. Well, I'm just going to go grab somebody else and start something with them. No, you don't. It doesn't work that way. When you're in covenant, folks, you are in something. When you are in covenant, you have entered into something that's deep. That's why you don't just get divorced and jump into another relationship right away. You got to rebuild some stuff in your life before you get into that relationship. Because if you get into another relationship and you haven't rebuilt anything or done anything, you're just going to take that mess in there and probably ruin that. Because that's covenant. God is concerned about covenant. The blood of Jesus is the blood covenant. The reason that the city was ruined, because they were ignorant of covenant. And folks, that's what we're not going to be ignorant of covenant. We're going to understand it. We're not going to just run out of our problems and think we can go find somebody else as a solution. The problem's right here. And when we begin to deal with what's in here, now we'll be developed in a family, in a marriage. But two have to want it, and two have to be in it. We need to stop being afraid. What's there to be afraid of? We don't have to be afraid. Some people, well, you know, I'm going to take this back road because I don't like driving on the freeway. You know, I might get in an accident. There's accidents every day. Well, I'm not going to fly in a plane, you know. Gosh, what if it crashes? We need to get rid of those fears. We don't have anything to be afraid of. Nothing. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only you shall look with your eyes and see the reward of the wicked. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angel charge over you to keep you in all your ways. We have nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of. We need to not be afraid and build on the right foundation. That's why Jesus said, I've got good news for you. You know, storms are coming. They're coming. But what did he say? He who hears these words of mine and does them, I would liken him to be a wise man who built his house on the rock. For when the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. You see, if your life, if you have the right foundation, no matter what comes your way, you're not going to go into ruin. You're going to stand, and you're going to keep standing. Doesn't mean you're not going to have the storms, but it means you're going to stand.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now.
Listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.